We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
An autumn Saturday afternoon, cloudy. Still a chance of showers here in the Twin Cities, clearing late tonight, as you heard a moment ago. Looks like a good day tomorrow, a little breezy. Starting to get the leaves cleaned up. They're starting to fall. Some of the trees have started to turn. And getting ready to put our lawns to bed for the winter. And we're joined by Professor Eric Watkins from the University of Minnesota Department of Horticultural Science. And we are going to talk turf today. And Eric's good enough to join us through the bottom of the hour. So if you want to talk about your lawn and proper lawn care late in the season, by all means, call or text. And our City's One Plumbing Talk and text line is 651-461-9226. Eric, good to visit with you. It's been a while.
Yeah, good to be here, Steve.
Yeah, I think the last time we talked, we were in the heat of summer and just kind of getting through it and putting water down and keep that lawn alive. Here we are late in the season, and people are always wondering, what is the proper way to put the turf to bed to winter, so to speak?
Yeah, well, not quite to the point where we'd say you're putting the lawn to bed, but there are, you know, good practices that you can follow now to improve the lawn for next year. If you haven't fertilized yet, now's a good time to fertilize. We're kind of hitting the end of that window soon, but this is a good time to fertilize. You could still aerify now if you haven't aerified, you know, maybe through the end of the month or so. Now's a good time to control broadleaf weeds, so dandelion, for instance. So there's a few things you could be doing now to strengthen the turf. Both this fall and next year.
And Eric, aerify, that's taking the plugs out of the soil and just let them lie. No reason to clean those up.
Right. In a lawn, you don't have to clean those up. Yep. There's different ways you can aerify, but that's the primary method that's used by for home lawns.
Yeah, and I've seen like the spikes where you're dragging something behind, say, your garden tractor, and it pokes holes in that way. Is that effective as well?
Sure. Yeah, that can also be effective. The main goal with any aerification is to increase air spaces in the soil for air movement and water movement. So there's a lot of different ways you can do it. Most of the time, though, you're pulling up cores that then break down over time.
Yeah, and should it be done every year, every other year? What's the timing?
You don't have to do it every year in most cases. It's really based on individual lawns. So if it's a lawn that experiences a lot of compaction and maybe you've got a lot of thatch buildup, aerification would be a good idea. Some lawns might need it very infrequently, you know, several years in between, while some lawns might benefit from it every, you know, couple of years. So it's going to depend on the lawn, the type of soil you have, is it a soil that gets easily compacted and so forth.
And fall versus spring, much preferred in the fall, isn't it?
That's right. You can do it in the spring, but fall's better. One of the things that happens with aerification is that as that soil is brought up to the surface, weed seeds come along with it, and you're opening up spots for weeds to germinate. Well, there's very little new weed activity now in the fall, whereas in the spring, you'd be opening up a lot of spaces and bringing up seed of a number of different annual weeds, summer annual weeds that would flourish if they were given that opportunity in the spring.
Eric Watkins, a professor at the U, joining us to talk turf today. And Eric joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. You're welcome to call. He'll be here through the bottom of the hour taking your questions on turf specifically. You talked about weeds. Once again, that window's closing because of the active growing season, but do you recommend just, you know, getting a little bottle of, say, like a Weed Be Gone type product and just spot treating those weeds?
Yeah, for the most part, you want to be careful not to over apply herbicides. So we don't, you know, you don't want to apply unless you've got a problem. And most of the time, if you want to get rid of some weeds, they're just, you know, infrequent, and something like the approach you mentioned, where you just get a bottle and spray them individually, is the way to go, rather than a blanket application of the herbicide. But there might be cases where, you know, let's say you got a really bad creeping Charlie problem, for instance, and you want to get rid of that, then it might be a situation where you're putting down, you know, more herbicide than you would with just a spot treatment.
Yeah, and Eric, one of the other things I wanted to bring up, it has been so dry, and a good part of the greater metro area is still, you know, abnormally dry or even in drought conditions, even though we did have a little bit of rain on Friday, may get a little bit today, certainly not enough to break the drought. Is it still important to put water down, and do you go until the first freeze, hard frost? What are your guidelines there?
Yeah, this is a tricky situation of these fall droughts. You wouldn't want your lawn to be, you know, in a dormant state or a drought stress state going into winter. There's a lot of important things that happen this time of year later as the plants acclimate for the winter. So they're getting ready to go through a winter, and there's some changes that happen to the plants, in the grass plants, that give them a good chance to survive the winter. And if we're dry, some of that stuff might not happen quite as effectively. So I think it's a good idea to be watering your lawn. You don't have to be in a situation where you're watering every day. But during a drought period like this in the fall, it might be a good idea to water a couple times a week, something like that, just to make sure that grass is actively growing. We want to make sure there's photosynthesis going on now during the fall as the plants begin to go into an acclimation period, getting ready for winter. Now, earlier in the summer, we would recommend if you're able to just let your lawn go dormant for a time. But it's a little different in the fall because we do want some fall growth as the lawns prepare for winter.
Also, the leaves are starting to fall. I've got some trees that are starting to part with their leaves. A couple of old bur oaks are starting to give up their leaves very stubbornly. Those usually go well into late October, even early November. It's kind of a race against the snowfall. But when people are mowing, and I would assume people are going to need to mow for a while yet, what about grinding up those leaves and putting them into the turf? When is it too much to kind of just mulch it all in?
So usually you would want to mulch it in. The problem gets to be when you have so much leaf material that you're getting a layer of leaf mulch on top of the turf. So this time of year, that's not going to happen. But if you had a lot of leaves, you had a heavily wooded lot, for instance, as we get closer to winter, maybe, you know, mid to late October, that can happen. And in those cases where you're going to have a layer of mulch leaves on top of the turf, that's when you want to start removing some of that material. One of the problems is, there's a couple of problems. One is that the turf isn't good. The grass plants aren't going to be able to photosynthesize as well right before winter. And then the other problem is we'll see a lot of snow mold disease in those situations where there's a lot of chopped up leaf material. Now, if you have just a amount of chopped up leaf material, mulch leaf material that isn't laying on top of the turf and blocking the sun from reaching the plants, then that's fine. And that mulch leaf material serves as good fertilizer, and it's a good practice that's more sustainable.
All right, quick break. When we come back, is it too late to seed? Is it too late to put down sod? We'll get Eric's thoughts on that. And by the way, if you have a question for Eric Watkins from the U, feel free to call us or text us, 651 561-9226. That is the city's one plumbing talk and text line here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Pleased to be joined by Eric Watkins, University of Minnesota Professor of Horticultural Science. We're talking turf today on the program, and he's going to join us for another few minutes, so there's still time to get a hold of us on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And from that line, this is a good one. What about mowing? They've heard that you should gradually mow the lawn a little bit shorter. Is that still true, Eric?
Yeah, you can lower the mowing heights a little bit as you go into late fall. You don't have to do it yet, but reducing the mowing height a bit, maybe starting in late October would be fine. The reason you do that is similar to the answer when we talked about leaves, is less plant material there for snow mold to be active in. So it's good practice, but you don't have to start that yet.
Is there any other preventative for snow mold that can be done other than keeping excess material, mowing it a little bit shorter? Is there anything else that can be done?
There's not anything else that you would do. There are fungicides and chemicals that will control it, but that is not necessary for a home lawn. Now, on a professionally maintained turf, like a golf course, something like that, there would be applications that are made because it can be quite devastating on a golf green, for instance. But on a home lawn, most of the time you get the snow mold, but it rarely kills the turf. It usually is an aesthetic issue, and then the turf recovers just fine. So if you just make sure there's not too much leaf material, maybe mow a little shorter going into winter, that should be good enough.
I brought it up before the break. Seeding, sodding, are we past the window now to successfully get sod or seed to take hold?
We're past the window for a regular late summer, early fall seeding. I would say the end of that window is about September 15th. If you do want to seed, you can still seed, but now you have to wait until you do a dormant seeding. So a dormant seeding would be done usually in early to mid-November at a time when the soil temperatures were too low for seed germination, but the soil was not frozen. So you can still seed, you just have to wait. You're not going to seed now because the plants will be too young going into winter. Sodding is just fine. So that's one of the advantages of sodding is you can really do it at any time during the growing season. So you still have several more weeks left of time when you can sod.
Yeah, and is this a good time, particularly out right along the street or along the curb, that area that, really gets baked in the summer and warms up first in the spring? It just seems to be prone to weeds. And I'm to the point now where I just feel like, getting out that flat-bladed shovel and dig some of that out and put a roll of sod down. I mean, is that sometimes only the only way to deal with those really weedy areas along curbs and driveways, et cetera?
A lot of times what you're seeing there is the turf is weakened from salt that's put down during the winter. So if you were to seed it now with the same kind of grass you have been using, you're probably going to have the same problem. What you might do is try some different grasses that might have a better chance of doing well. So we've done quite a bit of research funded by the DOT and identified some grasses that do a little better in those situations of salt load in the spring. So the fine fescues would be a good option in those sites. So what you could do for those who have a similar situation, and I imagine a lot of people do, is dormant seed in some fine fescue seed in November. And then that seed should pop up then in the spring, once soil temperatures are high enough, and that should do well, and then you'll be in a little better situation going into next winter. You'll have a grass that's a little better adapted to those conditions.
Yeah, because I was thinking about, I just want to dig all of this out, because once you start pulling the weeds in those areas, it really becomes Rams, wow, this looks terrible right now. So, and they come out pretty easy, but boy, you start pulling that stuff out along the street or along the driveway, and it gets ugly pretty quick. One other thing on Saad in particular. I've heard this, and I've put down Saad a number of times over the years. No such thing as too much water when it comes to getting Saad started anyway?
There could be too much water. The key thing with Saad, and the same thing applies to seed, but especially Saad, you don't want it to dry out. You want that Saad to be moist the whole time, because it's really key that those roots on the Saad get well-established in the soil. So a lot of times the mistake that people make is that they assume that, you know, it's going to be fine once it's laid and put a little bit of water on it, you know, my general watering practice. But you need to really treat it almost like you would a new seeding, where you're keeping it moist all the time during that establishment period. And then once it gets to the point where it's, if you give it a tug and it's not moving, then you can back off on the water a little bit. It, you know, that means that the roots are starting to get well-established into the existing soil.
Right off the top, we talked about aerifying the yard, taking plugs out, especially if it's been a while or there's a lot of compaction. Another thing people do, and they rent these machines at the hardware store, and that is dethatch. Is that something you'd want to do now or you'd want to do in the spring?
You can do it at either time. Now is probably a little bit, you know, we're getting towards the end of that period as well, but you could still do it. Either way would probably be fine. Wouldn't be fine to do that. Dethatching, aerification helps with reducing thatch. But reduces compaction. And dethatching then, you know, using a power rake or something to get rid of some of that thatch, only deals with the thatch problem. So if you have a situation without compaction, but you do have a thatch problem, you know, that dethatching operation can be effective.
Well, Eric, our time goes all too quickly. Thanks to all the folks that sent texts. And some sent texts in on other things that grow on our landscapes, but we wanted to keep the focus on turf today with Eric. And, of course, we want to remind people that each and every Saturday morning, experts from University of Minnesota Extension join Denny Long on our Smart Gardens program. And there's a podcast available, and they talk indoor, outdoor plants of all types. But, Eric, thanks so much for the time. And is there a website, is there a resource that people can go to get more information from you and the other experts at the U?
Yeah, so, of course, you can always go to the Extension Lawn and Garden site. So extension.umn.edu and search for lawns and landscapes or lawns. The other thing you can do is go to our turf.umn.edu site. That's where we have updates on our research program. But also on that site, you can sign up for, we send out a monthly email newsletter, and we, you know, give a list of things that you should be doing to your lawn that month, and some links to some resources. So you can check out the turf.umn.edu site and sign up for that newsletter.
Well, Eric, good to visit with you, and thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, no problem, Steve. Bye.
All right, there he is, Eric Watkins, professor at the University of Minnesota, Department of Horticultural Science, talking turf. And a lot of us take a lot of pride in our lawns and want to make sure we're doing the right thing. I look out my window and say, yeah, I got work to do before the snow flies. We're going to take a break. We'll get an update on the weather. No snow in our forecast. We'll have that in detail. And then a scary incident at a football game in Richfield. Jim Paulson, who's covered high school sports for the Star Tribune for many years, was there. We'll visit with Jim coming up here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Week 4 high school football. We had some games Thursday, ton of games Friday night as per usual, and then more games today around the state of Minnesota, halfway through the regular season. I happened to be in Wayzata to see the Trojans win over Totino Grace, and fans and students were at football stadiums all over the metro and all over the state on Friday night. Jim Paulson of the Star Tribune happened to be in Richfield and Bloomington Kennedy last night, and shots rang out. And Jim joins us on the line, and Jim, scary night in Richfield. Wow.
You know, I've covered an awful lot of football games in my life. I've never had that happen at a game where there was shots rang out, I think, just as the fourth quarter started. Actually, I think Kennedy had just scored a touchdown, and then you heard two loud pops outside the north end zone, the fans, and people. I think people took a second to gather themselves, and then this massive people, football players, fans, everybody started sprinting off the field. There are some of us that are still trying to figure out what was going on, but most people kind of had an idea what happened, and that was it. It kind of takes you by surprise when this kind of thing happens. It's something that you like to think is as vanilla and as wholesome as high school football.
Yeah, Jim, was there any doubt in your mind they were gunshots at that moment?
None at all. I'm not a gun guy. I don't hunt. I don't own any guns. So I haven't heard an awful lot of gunshots in my life. I've heard a lot of fireworks over the years and jokingly thought, I wonder if that's a gunshot. There's no doubt. These two gunshots were loud reports. They were obvious. I don't think anybody that heard them had any doubt in their mind what was going on. And particularly the kids from Kennedy and Richfield, the players and the students, I think they've got so used to gunfire being a part of their lives, which is kind of a sad commentary, if I may say so myself, that they reacted immediately with sprinting off the field and getting as far away as they possibly could.
And you and another writer at the Star Tribune had the story on the shooting incident, and it is available online at startribune.com. We've had reporting here, News Talk 830 WCCO, about the incident. After the shots ring out, you mentioned the players, the coaches start heading in the opposite direction. Fans are getting out of the grandstands, trying to get away from where the shots rang out. Describe that scene. How many people were there? It had to be complete pandemonium.
It was very chaotic. It was a homecoming night at Richfield, and while I don't think it draws quite as big a crowd as you might find in some of the larger suburban schools, it was a significant crowd there. And again, an awful lot of kids that were there hanging out at their football game without being next to their parents. And if I was a parent, that type of thing would terrify me. That not that kids are someplace where gunshots are happening just outside the stadium. And the idea that they knew exactly how to react, what does that say about our society where these young kids know what gunshots are? They shouldn't have to live in that kind of society where that's a significant part of their lives. But yeah, it was pandemonium. People were trying to get out, were running across the field. Football team just started running. Both teams never bothered to worry anymore about what was going on in the game. It was pretty crazy. And the funny part about it is, after they instructed everybody that was still in the stadium that they had to leave, and they're telling people to leave through the south exit, fans from both teams were leaving through the same exit. Emotions were clearly running high. There was an awful lot of arguing and jawing back and forth, and a couple of times I thought there was going to be fisticuffs breaking out among the fans. I couldn't imagine why everyone was yelling at each other, but there was an awful lot of commotion going on there, too. They finally got some fans outside the gates settled down, but I think everyone is just feeling so nervous and concerned about what happened, and it unsettled just about everything there.
Jim Paulson joining us, reporter for the Star Tribune on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. He was in Ridgefield for that Ridgefield-Bloomington-Kennedy football game where shots rang out. At this hour, we still believe they're searching for suspects in this. And in the story in the Star Tribune, it was laid out that, you know, there was heavier security. There were some people denied entrance to this football game. There were strict rules on who could get in, who could sit in the Ridgefield stands. And that is typical and has become typical, especially in rivalry games all over the metro area where there can be separate entrances, and they try and keep fans of the opposing team separate. That is not uncommon.
Yeah, that happens all over the place. I mean, you saw last week there was a fight outside the Dinah High School at a football game. So it can happen just about anywhere. I mean, you get emotions running high, and, you know, you have rivalries. Teams jaw back and forth, and over social media. And some people, particularly younger minds, take it pretty seriously, and emotions get ramped up. And next thing you know, things like this happen. But it's really sad that in a situation where I've always thought football is one of the great experiences in high school life, because it brings everybody together from all walks of life at a stadium on a Friday night, where you don't have to worry about classes or schools or bells and that kids can be themselves. It's such a terrific community event. It's sad when something like this can really bring it to a halt like this did.
So Jim, after the shots ring out and people are trying to get away from the scene, get off the field, get out of the bleachers, get out of the stands, we understand that people were sheltering in the school at Ridgefield, and I understand there was quite quickly a large law enforcement presence there.
And the law enforcement showed up very quickly. I mean, it was within 5 minutes that I was seeing from my spot in the press box after the shots rang out, at least a half a dozen, maybe more, law enforcement and first responders vehicles. And by the time I was able to get out of the parking lot, it was at least double that. They had the streets blocked off. It wasn't just police responder vehicles. They had fire trucks and EMS trucks there, I think mostly in helping to give a strong presence and keep the streets blocked off. But the city of Ridgefield did a stellar job in their response to what happened there. I think it ended up hearing that two people were shot, neither one fatally. One, I'd heard, got lucky because the shot hit a cell phone and may have saved their life or saved them in that regard. But it's the type of things that happened. It was chaotic. It was hard to really know what was going on at that time. I was wondering if I was going to be able to get my car out of there and get out of there, but they allowed me to leave probably, I don't know, 20 minutes after the shots had been heard.
Yeah, and Jim, you are one of the reporters on site. I also believe that the game was available on streaming, and there is some video that's been circulating out there about the moment the shots did ring out. And my first thought, and like I say, I was at a football game, Totino Grace at Wayzata, and I listened to the Twins game on the way home, and then really didn't turn on the TV or interact with the media. I was kind of done after a long day and after the football game, and just kind of shut it down and didn't hear about it until this morning. And I think there were maybe a fair number of people that weren't around television news or around the radio late last night that hadn't heard about it today. And once again, it is a rare incident. We should also point out that generally, when I go to a football game or a basketball game or a hockey game or whatever, there is a law enforcement presence there. Whether it's a hockey game up in Andover or a football game out in Wayzata or wherever it is, there is a law enforcement presence at these events.
Yeah, and obviously it's definitely needed because, again, you're talking about youthful minds and kids where emotions are running high, particularly in terms of rivalries, and everybody wants to win, and everybody wants to the social media aspect where teams are going back and forth at it. It can get a little bit heated, so it's a very good idea to have a police presence. I think that incidents like what happened last night at Richfield and the week earlier at Edina and what has happened, I heard at Minneapolis Henry in the Minneapolis conference, that there's been some threats of violence outside football games that have affected the games themselves. When these sorts of things happen, I think it becomes incumbent of law enforcement to have a strong presence at the game because there are such a large number of people. Anytime you have a significant number of people gathered in one spot, the potential for trouble just is exacerbated. And so I think it's very smart for law enforcement to be as present and as visible as possible.
Well, it certainly was a dangerous situation last night in Richfield. Jim, good to visit with you. I'm glad you're safe. And, you know, in that stampede to clear the bleachers and get out of harm's way, you know, I'm glad there haven't been more reports of serious injuries in that situation.
Yeah, you know, other than the fact that there was some jawing back and forth between fans as they were leaving, I thought it was pretty civil for the most part, that people were understood the brevity and the importance of the situation and how much they needed to take shelter and get away from it as far as possible. And you know, like they had made sure the Kennedys were able to not go on the bus, but they went into the Richfield High School to protect themselves after the game, and the Richfield team was in there as well. And so I think the authorities reacted properly. They reacted quickly, as they well should. And it's just one of those things that just is an unfortunate commentary on the times in which we live.
Yeah. All right, Jim. Thanks as always. Good to visit with
Thanks
you.
For having
we're
me.
Happier circumstances. Talk again soon.
Yeah, there was a lot of football to talk about this week. I appreciate you giving me a call.
Yeah. There he is, Jim Paulson, joining us from the Star Tribune, online at startribune.com. He was at Richfield High School, and once again, the search for a suspect or suspects continues. And Jim joined us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick break. We'll come back. Speaking of football, huge college football day. The Vikes go tomorrow. Hey, we have the Twins and the Angels Fan Appreciation Weekend coming up on the radio. Our pregame show begins at 5:30. First pitch just after 6 o'clock from Target Field here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. A little light rain moving through parts of the metro area. Tonight clearing late, a low near 52. Tomorrow sunny and breezy, 67. Vikes and Lions downtown, U.S. Bank Stadium. Twins and Angels, final game of the three-game series downtown as well. And the weather this hour brought to you by Arrow Drapery and Blind. College football today, Big Ten action, Northern Sun. We've got huge game in the MIAC today as well. St. John's at Bethel. And right now, Bethel leading it late, 28-24. We hope to get a game report on that one before we say goodbye today here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Minnesota all over Michigan State. Late second quarter, 17-0. Mo Ibrahim, 18 carries, 66 yards, and a touchdown. How about Tanner Morgan, 15 of 18, 187 yards and a touchdown. Chris Utman-Bell out. Doesn't matter. The Gophers dominating Sparty, 17-0 in East Lansing. Late second quarter there, and it looks like it's gone final in Arden Hills. Bethel knocks off St. John's, 28-24. Johnnies fall to 2-1. Bethel moves to 2-1. A huge victory for the Bethel Royals today over their rivals in the MIAC today. One other final out of the MIAC, Gustavus winner on the road at Concordia, 23-6. We're just getting started on the scores. We have all the news, all the weather coming up at 4 o'clock. Then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney, fall hunting and fishing in the spotlight, and then much more college football here on a Saturday. Gary Klatt is our producer. My name is Steve Thompson here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.